Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. We've got a great doubleheader today, Lindsay Berra. She's the host of the new Food of the Gods podcast. She's a freelance sports journalist. She's a board member of her grandpa Yogi Berra's Museum and Learning Center. She returns along with Eve Shannon. She's the executive director of the Museum and Learning Center. She's a specialist in nonprofit communications and management, and the Sports Doctor's in. Lindsay Berra, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back. I'm excited about your new podcast. You know, for decades, the big part of the topics on the Sports Doctor have included the world of nutrition, the world of physical training, the world of mental training. And it sounds like your new podcast is about all of those topics. So give us a little bit of background on you and what's led you into your new Food of the Gods podcast.
So I've been a sports writer for over 20 years now. I hate to say that because it makes me sound old. But as far back as when I was with ESPN Magazine, I was always very interested in the training side of sports and how athletes in different sports functionally train to perform those sports. I was an athlete my whole life, and I knew about the different things that I had to do to play hockey and softball and just the varying methods of preparing yourself for those sports. I got into yoga when I was pretty young and realized how much that helped me and wished that I had found it as a collegiate athlete, because I think the mobility and the body awareness that I learned in yoga would have been very beneficial playing my sports growing up. I started to get really into it. And at MLB, I kind of developed kind of a health and fitness niche. I did a lot of off-season workout stories with athletes and wrote about injuries and how they impact people's biomechanics. And then since I left MLB, I've been writing a lot for Men's Health and doing, you know, all different kinds of health and fitness stories. So I was approached to host this new sports nutrition podcast called Food of the Gods, which is about how elite athletes eat and train to fuel performance. And I love the idea because anytime I get an athlete in the room or on the phone or, you know, at an event, I'm always asking them what they're doing, how they've changed their training in recent months, how they've modified their training as they've gotten older, what they've learned about their training, because it's never one size fits all. We can't all follow the same training program and have success. And I feel like you have to kind of pull things from different areas. And I always learn a little something and get an idea that I can try when I talk to one athlete, and then I'll try something else from another athlete and figure out what works for me. And I thought that since I found that interesting, other people might find it interesting too. So that's what we're doing on Food of the Gods, talking to athletes from all different sports. We've had a baseball pitcher, an offensive lineman, a pro surfer, an NBA forward, an IndyCar driver, a pro tennis player. We just had Misha Tate, the MMA fighter. So it's athletes of all different backgrounds, and it's just super informative and interesting to hear what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, it's always interesting in the world of high performance how big the mental game has become in mm-hmm. all areas of sports. Of course, you grew up, you're the granddaughter of Yogi Berra. Your whole life included championships and what it takes to get there and all of these incredible combinations of things that had to have affected you as a young athlete yourself, I would assume.
Yeah, I always say that the thing that I learned from Grandpa. Grandpa always had such a unique mindset, I think. Like, you see athletes, when they don't do well, they come home and they're mad and they yell at their kids and they're mean to their wife and they kick their dog or whatever the heck it is they're doing. Grandpa didn't bring stuff home with him. He was very able to, after the game, if they had lost, assess why he believed that if you lost, it was because you didn't play well enough to win. And if you didn't figure out what you needed to do to be better for the next day, you were going to spiral into a slump of sorts, right? So he was very quickly able to assess what went wrong, figure out what he could do to make it better, and then leave the ballpark and be ready to go for the next day. The losses didn't come home with him. And that was something very interesting to me, even as a middle school athlete, because I'd be upset when I lost.
Yeah. If you were giving a piece of advice today to any great athlete in any sport, what you just mentioned would be such a key point, you know, the ability to leave behind.
If you're thinking about how you struck out yesterday, you're not going to be able to hit in the moment today. You're just not.
And you know what's interesting? Again, in these topics like what you're talking about with the podcast. So here's my pearl from the sports doctor for you and all your different athletes. To chapter in my book #A Sports Parent, the two essential exercise concepts that should be included. One is work those feet and ankles, strengthen those feet and ankles. The other is work balance, work stability. That's such a big part of awareness. It's amazing how that topic exploded with the twisties. We were talking about all of these kinds of aspects. It was interesting. I think Simone Biles did more for the world of sport with what she did with the mental awareness than if she would have won 20 gold medals, you know?
Yeah, and body awareness is something that's so interesting. Obviously, for a gymnast, a lack of body awareness can be actually life-threatening. But when you are any type of athlete, knowing where you are in space, how much space you take up, and how you relate to that space is super important. And teaching balance and stability sort of teaches you to more powerfully occupy that space. And that's something I find super interesting. That's what I was talking about with the yoga, how it gives you that body awareness. And I wish that I had it and been taught that as a high school athlete.
Yes, it's interesting. Teresa Power, who's a frequent guest on the Sports Doctor, created the Kids Yoga Day. It's an international phenomenon in April where there's millions of kids in 50 countries participating in yoga for all the great things. And over the years, some of the best athletes in the world have always included it. And you hit the nail exactly on the head. That's one of the kinds of exercises that, regardless of your son or daughter's sport, will really make big inroads and helping both mentally and physically. Of course, it's amazing, Lindsay, the nutritional side of things in all sports and health and wellness has exploded over the past decade or two. That's got to be, again, besides the title, what kind of attention are you paying to the nutrition side?
I definitely ask every one of the athletes, like, what a day of eating looks like for them. Do they follow any particular diets? And we get answers that totally run the gamut. I mean, the Bradley Bozeman, the Ravens offensive lineman that I interviewed, he basically eats whatever. He'll eat, you know, pizza, and he'll eat a baked potato with cheese and butter and a filet mignon before a game. Now, I personally would drop dead if I ate that and tried to exercise, but it works for him. I just interviewed Danielle Collins, who is she's only 27 years old as a tennis player. She struggled with rheumatoid arthritis for most of her life, so she's gluten-free and dairy-free. Michael Delzato, NHL defenseman, is completely keto and an intermittent faster. So he is no carbohydrates and completely fueling himself with fat, given the length of his fasts every day. That doesn't work for everyone on earth, right? So it's really cool to listen to how these athletes fuel themselves and think about, oh, would this work for me? Would this not work for me?
Yeah, that term alone, Lindsay, you know, one of the contributors to my book, Katie Davis, is a prominent sports nutritionist specializing in youth sports. And when she would talk to these athletes about fueling, boy, that sure made an awful lot better sense than the word dieting.
absolutely.
To say the least, a whole different mindset.
Yeah, one of our guests on the podcast was Shari Hawkins. She's a Team USA heptathlete, and she was talking about growing up, she wanted her body to be pretty, like a statue. And then she realized, wait a minute, my body is a machine, and if I don't put gas in it, it's not going anywhere. Like, if you want it to do stuff, you have to give it the fuel to allow it to do stuff. You want it to jump high and run fast and lift a lot of weights. You're not going to be able to do it eating only, baby carrots or God forbid, Doritos,
Yeah. But I think the athletes have tuned into the fact, we talk about it on the Sports Doctor all the time, Lindsay, when we talk about the new medicine, whether it's the top athletes in the world or people who are just trying to get healthier, number one is eat smarter. And if you're eating smarter, you can include all this new information as best you can. Like you said, still people have individual choices, do what they want, but at least to take advantage of eating smarter. And of course, the other side of the equation, new medicine, is to keep moving, in one regard or another. And I'm sure health and wellness, big part of your show, as well as what elite athletes might be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say keep moving. I mean, I certainly believe motion is lotion on all levels, right? And it's so good just to keep your joints moving, to keep your heart healthy. We all, how we feel after sitting at our desk
That's
for 8 hours,
it
lowers stress levels if you get out and move. Moving, throughout the day is just so important for not even just for pro athletes, just for people to keep their bodies tuned properly.
But when people in the general public in so many areas, whether you're the parents of upcoming athletes or your athletes themselves, the feedback of the champions, and the pros, the gods, pardon the pun, is just a really exciting concept, because there are so many fans in so many different sports and so many different areas that are really, really interested into, what was the story that allowed you to become an Olympian?
Mm-hmm.
We have a contest on the show all the time, Lindsay, which was, what's tougher when you're growing up as a young athlete, to become a pro eventually or to become an Olympian? What do you think?
I don't know. I think I think that is pretty specific to what sport you participate in, right? Like,
yes.
People who are track and field athletes or figure skaters, like you could, I think being an Olympian in figure skating is a higher level than being like a touring pro in figure skating. But, Olympians historically have been amateurs, and that has changed in recent years with hockey and baseball. So it might have been easier to be an Olympian than to be a pro in baseball or hockey in the past, but that has kind of changed over the years too. I just think it depends what sport you play and what the landscape looks like for that sport at the particular moment in time.
Lindsay, what's the website, information site, people could find out about you, all the things that you've done and have written, as well as the Food of the Gods podcast?
So Food of the Gods podcast is www.foodofthegods.com. You can find us on any platform where you listen to podcasts. We're on Apple and Google Podcasts and Spotify, pretty easy to find. As far as me, the easiest way to follow me is at Lindsay Berra on Twitter, is where I post most of my stories and things. I do have a website, lindsayberra.com, but I have actually not been very good at keeping that updated. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah,
so Twitter is definitely the best place for me, at Lindsay Berra.
Excellent. Of course, your Food of the Gods is going to have a visit sometime in the not too distant future. Visit from the Sports Doctor. Sports Doctor.
There you go.
Bounce off.
It's actually, I just misspoke there. Foodofthegodspodcast.com.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you corrected. We've got a few minutes left. Talk a little bit about you and the museum.
Sure.
I know you just had that fantastic Forever Stamp Day, all of this incredible recognition, and what really excites you, I know, is the Learning Center. Talk a few minutes about your excitement about what's going on at the Yogi Berra Museum.
Yeah, so the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center is really our way to keep my grandpa Yogi's legacy alive and introduce him to a new generation of kids. If you want to check that out, it's yogiberramuseum.org. It's a great place. We do focus a lot on the Learning Center part of it. We teach character education programs, STEM programs, all different kinds of educational programs to young kids that now can be done virtually as well. You talked about the Forever Stamp. We were very excited about this stamp. My dad, who is Yogi's oldest son, has been a stamp collector since he was a little kid. And when he was in like the second grade, he asked his teacher how he could get his father on a stamp. And they said, well, I'm sorry, Larry, he has to be dead first. So my dad has been waiting his whole life to have Grandpa be able to be on a stamp. And, you know, unfortunately, they do have to be no longer with us to have that honor, but we were thrilled to have it anyway. And the stamp itself is beautiful. It's a great image of Grandpa with his Yankee cap and his chest protector and that big smile that endeared him to so many around the world.
How many World Series did Yankee and the Yankees win?
Grandpa won 10. The Yankees have won 27, but he won 10 as a player and three more as a coach.
He won 10 World Series.
As
Your
a player,
Grandpa
and then
was
three
he
more.
Was one of the toughest. He was one of the toughest outs. When somebody said, "Man, I got one batter who I can put up there. Who would it be?" He was in the discussion, and of course, it's that famous movie of him jumping into the perfect game. He jumping into Don Larson's lap. Let alone all the criticisms and quotes and all of these things that your dad did, and you're turning on a new generation.
I think what's also super interesting about Grandpa that people kind of forget, he was the child of immigrants, raised very poor on the hill in St. Louis, so his story is an immigrant story. He served in the Navy, he volunteered for the Navy, and was off of Omaha Beach during the D-Day invasion, and was lucky enough to come home when so many people did not, so his story is a veteran story. He is truly a member of that greatest generation, and then he came home and was lucky enough to have a family and my, you know, beautiful Grammy Carmen, and he just happened to have the success with the New York Yankees. So there's so many things that are relatable about my grandfather to so many people in this country, immigrants, veterans, people who were underestimated, so many people can relate
Lindsay,
to him on
give
so
me,
many different levels.
Give me the information, because we're going to have Eve on it. Give me the information quickly on you and information for you and your web podcast.
So the podcast is foodofthegodspodcast.com, and you can find Food of the Gods on any of the podcast platforms. The museum is yogibarramuseum.org, and Eve, that you're going to talk to now, our director, is the absolute best.
Great. Hold on, Lindsay. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Talk. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents.
Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Today, we're going to continue with Yogi Berra Day. We want to welcome Eve Shaden. She's the executive director of the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center. She's a specialist in nonprofit communications and management. Eve, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Great to have you. Give us a little bit of background on you and the museum.
Sure thing. Well, I've been with the museum since the fall of 2016. I was brought in just a year after Yogi passed away in the fall of 2015. And it was really, as you can imagine, a turning point for the organization. You know, they sort of had to figure out what to do. For so many years, Yogi was a presence in that place. You would visit the Yogi Berra Museum and you would experience Yogi Berra in the space. Of course, after he passed away, that was no longer possible. So to sort of rethink what the place was going to be. It will always be a mecca for baseball lovers. There are unbelievable artifacts and pieces of memorabilia. But what we ended up doing was leaning in hard into the education piece of our work. It is the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center. Yogi famously cared most about educating kids. And that, in fact, is why I was brought in, because that was an area of my expertise, and it's been very exciting to see the growth in that education piece of the work since I've been there.
You know, it's interesting, again, the attention to the learning center experience, or again, having children to re-experience some of the important things. At home learning through baseball, some of these other things. I remember when I've had Lindsay on the show in the past, mm-hmm. and she was talking about, we were talking in the beginning of the pandemic, middle of the pandemic, and she was talking about the if there was any kind of a silver lining, it was the fact that there was so much more virtual learning going on, and that the Learning Center was really in the middle of so much of it with so many of the different areas.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
sure.
What are some of the areas, the specifics that you feature as part of the Learning Center's curriculum?
You know, what we find is, you know, one of the great, any educator will know this, certainly any parent too, you know, in order for kids to learn, they really have to connect to the material. And sports is just a terrific vehicle for connection. Every young person has some kind of relationship to sports, whether they play it or watch it, or where they sort of self-define as, you know, kids who, you know, are not into sports. They all are connected to sports somehow. And so we really leverage that connection as a way of learning. And, you know, some of the areas we cover, the field of STEM, which is stands for, of course, science, technology, engineering, and math. Sports is full of science and math. So that was, you know, one of the first lessons that we introduced that has been wildly popular with young people. You know, we're teaching them about the physics of baseball, right? The kinetic transfer of energy when you pitch. You know, what the percentage of your pitching stride is to your height, and that allows them to do computational math. And best of all, it gets them up and moving. And what we found is that when we pivoted these programs to a virtual space and we're doing them on Zoom, we were still able to have kids, you know, move around in their own bedrooms on Zoom. You know, so what that meant is, you know, instead of throwing a baseball in our museum, they were throwing a sock ball or a stuffed animal across their own bedrooms. But, you know, it didn't matter. It meant that they were, you know, still learning and still engaged and still connecting.
And what are the ages, that you really cater to?
You know, we really
focus on 3 to 103?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that. We focus on middle and high school kids. But when we were doing our remote programming, we would often see their parents and grandparents sneak into the background to participate because it's just a lot of fun. In particular, when we had one of our most, another very popular program was focusing on baseball's Negro Leagues. Of course, 2020 was the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. In honor of that milestone, we brought an exhibit into our museum on loan from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. Big shout out and thanks to Bob Kendrick, the president of that museum, who couldn't have been kinder in letting us bring these incredible artifacts documenting that period, really the genesis of black baseball and the history through, you know, through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and of course Jackie Robinson.
It's such a vibrant history. Yes, Yogi's interaction with Jackie Robinson. They were such colleagues in so many different ways.
Of course, and they were great friends, great rivals. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
That's, you know, the fabulous iconic play in the 55 series when, of course, as
Yogi said, he ain't stealing home on me. But everybody, you're listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. Who was on? What were their topics? What were the different discussions? Listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can go back with so many different topics that I've written on. Lower Extremity Review Magazine, the very new exciting MVP Parent magazine. And we have 30, 40,000 followers between LinkedIn and Twitter. We have a lot of sports medicine information, a lot of health and wellness stuff besides who's on the show. And what some of the different topics are at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Eve Shannon. She is the executive director of the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center in is it Milford, New Jersey?
Yeah, we're on the campus of Montclair State University. So our street address
right,
is Montclair Little Falls, but just Montclair State. Yeah, that's where you'll find us.
Now, how long has the museum been in existence?
Essentially, the museum was built in 1998. Yogi was given an honorary doctorate from the university, and there was a ball field built, Yogi Berra Stadium. The museum is adjacent to that stadium, and really it was a group of friends of Yogi's who said, you know, we have an icon living in our community. We should erect a museum in his honor, and that's how the museum was built. And as I mentioned before, Yogi was part of the museum for the years when he was around. He would show people around. He would explain, you know, the various memorabilia. He would tell stories. It was really a one-of-a-kind experience. Since his passing in 2015, we've really had to sort of lean into the education part of the work, bringing young people who weren't necessarily familiar with that history up to speed, and really, you know, as I also mentioned, leveraging sports and baseball in particular as a way of connecting to various academic content areas that, you know, teachers
it's
are trying
a, that's
to.
That's a real genius, the ability of using something like baseball to be able to connect in so many different areas. I wasn't even sure what STEM stood for. And then, of course, it's math. And what is it, STEM?
It's STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And, you know, of course, you know, so many of the, you know, fields in the future are going to involve kids being familiar with those areas. A lot of kids are not so comfortable with math and science, but once you put a baseball in their hand and talk about the kinetic transfer of energy that way, you know, we find that, you know, they really, they liven up and are, you know, and are anxious to learn more. So, you know, that's what it's really about, offering sort of enrichment opportunities.
I'll have to write a chapter for you guys on the biomechanics and the role of the foot and shoes in all different sports, so you could turn these kids on to some of these important topics when you're talking
Absolutely.
About the sport of baseball and how exciting all of that is. Of course, you had a couple months ago, you celebrated that the Yogi Berra Forever Stamp Day. Now, you met my colleague, Noah Perlis was in attendance. He was so excited.
Oh, what a terrific day. You know, in a summer
yes.
where we've had bad weather, we just had the most glorious day of the entire summer to celebrate that commemorative stamp of the U.S. Postal Service. We were just thrilled to be able to do that.
And the, Bob Costas was the MC.
He sure was.
You know, he would move from there to the Olympics or, you know, back and forth. So I thought that was incredibly exciting.
Here's what I've learned in my role. Everybody loves Yogi. So, you know, if you invite them to do anything that talks about, you know, it's talking about Yogi, honoring Yogi, celebrating Yogi, people come. And so, you know, we had, in addition to Bob Costas, Willie Randolph was there, a great friend of the museum. Rick Cerrone was there, Larry Doby Jr., you know, son of the great Larry Doby, you know, barrier breaker for the Cleveland Indians. You know, we just had a fabulous turnout, and of course, all kinds of fans, stamp fans, baseball fans, families, you know, everybody showed up, and, you know, it was just a really
great the Yankee tradition, the unequaled New York Yankee tradition. You know, a couple times I've had on the show their present team physician, Dr. Chris Ahmad.
He's been a guest
on the Sports Doctor. Matter of fact, he shared the show with Lindsay a few months ago. So, you know, again, this incredible tradition of the Yankees, you know, along with, you know, one of their great champions. And that's not getting into the criticisms and the quotes and the endless stuff that Yogi helped make famous. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, as we say, you know, not every great Hall of Fame ballplayer has their own museum, and certainly not every great Hall of Fame ballplayer is one of the most quoted Americans in the history of sports. And, you know, I mean, Yogi is just a national treasure. You know, he did receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, you know, the highest civilian honor you could get. You know, so not only, you know, is he sort of infuses the American vernacular with people quoting him all the time, but he also, you know, is a World War II veteran, served at D-Day, you know, the iconic battle of World War II. You know, so you sort of, you know, it really is one of those fairy tale stories where at every turn, you know, his life exemplifies.
Lindsay mentioned that. I think that's a very, very important, you know, son of immigrants, served his country, part of D-Day, incredible, part of the history. And, like, you know, like Yogi said, you know, when you get to the fork in the road, take it.
There you go.
Am I right on that?
You're absolutely right on that. You know, and anyone who lives in our community laughs because, of course, there is, you know, if you know where Yogi lived in town, there is, in fact, a road. It does fork, and no matter which fork you take, it will lead to Yogi's house. So, you know, it was actually absolutely true what he was
saying.
Really? Yes.
So who plays in that stadium at the school? Does the school play baseball there?
Yeah, you know, during the university season, the Montclair State University baseball team is there, but now it is home to the New Jersey Jackals. And I just have to, you know, give a shout out and a plug for them.
Absolutely.
A terrific experience is to come out to, you know, the museum, visit us, check out all the incredible, you know, artifacts that we've got, and then catch a Jackals game, which is a ton of fun. It's really family friendly. It's really affordable. You know, there's a place for kids to run around, and Saturday nights they have fireworks. So you really get the full experience, and it's a really, really nice
outing. Are the Jackals a minor league franchise?
An independent league. So there are some terrific players there, and you know, again, it's a chance to see real baseball, professional baseball, and it won't break the bank. And you know, you can also check out the museum while you're there. So it's really a terrific package deal.
What other exciting things might you guys have in the pipeline? Wow, you know, I can't believe I ran out of with Eve. Eve, give us the information, people, to find out about the museum quickly before we ran out of time.
Sure thing. Easiest thing, come to our website, yogibearamuseum.org. You can see when you can visit. We're very happy to be open to the public again. You know, we're bringing people in safely. You know, we're asking people to wear masks just to keep everyone safe. We've got a lot of kids coming in, a lot of, you know, seniors. But, you know, we're open Wednesday through Sunday, noon to 5 p.m. We stay open late on the night of Jackson.
Yes, Eve Shannon, she is the executive director of the incredible Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center. Eve, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, to the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolwear.com.
Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. We're talking with Eve Shannon. She's the executive director of the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center. She is a specialist in the world of nonprofit communications and management. That must come in awfully handy. You know, Eve, you were talking about the inclusion of the Negro League, which was the Negro Professional Baseball League, which was celebrating its 100th anniversary, the incredible relevance in the world of race relations that we're all living through, and the ability to pay such big attention, I think is really, really commendable. Talk a little bit more about what you're including in that side of the Learning Center.
Sure. I mean, you know, it has been a real honor to host the show. It's called this. It's an exhibit called Discover Greatness, an Illustrated History of Negro Leagues Baseball. It is on loan from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. We're so grateful to them for being such terrific partners. And it, you know, it includes 90 photographs and artifacts from the Negro Leagues. You know, what we found is that a lot of people who came to visit the museum, in particular young people, they recognize Jackie Robinson, who's, of course, on the wall of our museum in that iconic play with Yogi, when Jackie was out, I should say, just for the record. You know, kids would look at that picture and they'd say, yeah, Jackie Robinson, he was the first black baseball player. And we had to, you know, we swiftly realized that, you know, kids really didn't understand the long history of African-Americans in the sport, and most importantly, the terrific history of the Negro Leagues. So this show allows us to teach, you know, that incredibly important chapter of baseball history. You know, and then what we found, of course, is in developing programming around that, it offered an opportunity to talk about bigger issues, more challenging issues, issues of systemic racism that the entire country is really grappling with right now in a way that, you know, young people in particular could relate to. So, you know, it's allowed us to talk about history. It's allowed us to, you know, amplify the stories of these unbelievable heroes. But it has also offered a way into conversations that are difficult and challenging for teachers, for students, for families, to talk about what it meant to be excluded for all those years, you know, essentially what Jim Crow and baseball looked like. And so, you know, it's been a great exhibit, and we are very excited that the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum has allowed us to extend the run through 2021. So I encourage your listeners to come visit the museum or check out the exhibit online. It's fully online since COVID came along. We had to close our doors for a while and see. And, you know, it really will take your breath away to see some of these heroes of the game.
Who are some of the faculty or the people that you've called upon, Eve, to participate, the teachers, quote unquote, communicators that are teaching your program?
You know, we have a really exciting team. We, of course, have a director of education with the museum, but all of our teaching fellows, all of the educators in our program are actually Montclair State University teaching students. They're young people, which is great because it means that they can really relate to the kids in a way that's very hands-on and very exciting. My favorite feedback that we get from students sometimes is, you know, I wasn't sure what this was going to be like, but it was really cool. It was really fun. And I think that has a lot to do with our terrific team of young people who are leading the programming. We also make a point of bringing in experts. There are many, and they've been very generous with their time. Again, you know, people love Yogi, and people love the legacy and want to help support. So Bob Kendrick from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum came by. Harold Reynolds, of course, with MLB, is a local guy, and he's been to the museum to help us with programming. He has a very particular interest in the Negro Leagues and has been terrific on that topic. You know, we have the physics department of Montclair State University helping us out with our STEM programming around the physics of baseball. So, you know, we really very free about asking for help when people are being very generous in their time again, because I think they recognize that this is really having an impact on kids, in particular kids from communities that don't necessarily have access to enrichment opportunities.
You know, add the sports doctor to the list. People will be glad to help and contribute some information. Talk a little bit about some of the feedback of the parents and teachers in the world of education, and some of the feedback you've gotten as the Learning Center has gotten more and more involved in so many different areas.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's been exciting. I mean, just, you know, we do have some bragging rights that I'm going to share on behalf of our team.
Absolutely.
You know, we doubled the number of students that were engaged over the first 3 years, and through COVID, you know, I think as we talked about earlier, because we had to pivot our programming to a virtual format, it meant that we could reach students you know, regardless of their geographic location. So we had school classes coming from Atlanta and from Pittsburgh and from Houston and from Louisiana, Lafayetteville, Louisiana, where the great Ron Guidry's daughter is a school teacher and brought her fourth graders. You know, what we're hearing across the board from the teachers is, you know, what a terrific way it is to engage young people in these important academic areas, you know, especially in this challenging last year when kids were, you know, in many ways on their own at home, parents were on their own trying to supervise, you know, their kids' education. You know, to have a virtual field trip just, you know, broke up the week in a really fun and engaging way.
I got news for you. Keep ready as we see that we go into the near future. And we're all puzzled with how well this is going to work out with all of these new incredible challenges that are still on top of us, you know, and what it's going to mean to kids in school. And the tremendous online presence, I think, is something that wasn't that much attention paid to virtual learning, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And as it's become as difficult as it's been, it's been a great new vehicle.
Yes, I mean, this program for us, this is here to stay. I mean, we said, you know, even as we're able to reopen and we have some school groups booked for the fall in person, we'll just fingers crossed that they're going to be able to come safely. But, you know, no matter what happens, we will continue to do these virtual field trips because it's a terrific opportunity, you know, also for, you know, even local schools who maybe don't have the funding to get the bus to come. You know, we scholarship kids whenever we can, classes, districts, we do everything we can. You know, Yogi wanted to make sure that it's successful for everybody.
You said STEM. One of the words was engineering, right?
Yeah, sure.
There's my top, right? The engineering of the human body starts with the foot, Eve.
We need to get you in, Dr. Bob. We need to get you in to talk to some of these kids. I can tell.
I'm telling you, Sabrina, we're talking about the engineering, you know. And again, so many different topics of interest to children when they know they don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the tremendous legacy, like you said, everybody loved Yogi Berra. The ability to introduce so many new areas. I don't know who came up with the idea of the Learning Center, but it's just a great idea.
Well, you know, I mean, Yogi famously said it was all about the kids for him. That's what he wanted. That's what he cared about most. He was, you know, everyone mentions how incredibly humble and his just extraordinary humility about his own achievements. What he wanted was a place where kids could learn. He himself had to quit school after the eighth grade, supported his family, you know, as we talked about, had a military career, raised a family. You know, he really felt like, you know, that piece of his own education was something that had been lacking, and he wanted to make sure that kids would have access to it.
It's amazing, Eve. I got a message. It was a picture of Yogi, and I think he had 7 rings. And I think the caption was, "Oh, hey, Tom Brady, how many do you have?" And my colleague Noah, whom you've met, sent me a message. He said, "Don't send it. He's got 10 rings now."
Exactly. I was just going to say, he's got 10 rings. I would have corrected if it hadn't been done already. Yes. Yeah, 10 rings, and no one's going to match that. This is what we know.
It really is amazing as we think about that. I'm trying to remember exactly the years that Yogi played with the Yankees, but I'm going to have to catch you with that on the next show. Give us again the website, please, of the museum, and people could find out all about it.
Absolutely. YogiBerraMuseum.org. Super easy to find. We're on the campus of Montclair State University. You can reach us with New Jersey Transit by car. There's easy parking. It's a terrific outing. Pair it with a New Jersey Jackals game this summer, and you won't regret it. So I hope people will come and visit.
Eve Shaden, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Director. Hold on, Eve. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has 2 Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com, Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. I think we're back. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Great stuff. The great Yogi Berra growing up as a kid. That whole world, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Duke Snyder, Willie Mays. Am I dating myself? Welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment. We preview some upcoming shows. We answer a few emails. I throw in a few excerpts and ideas from the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. You know, we've got a couple of real fitness legends joining me next week. Gilad Jankowicz, the famous TV exercise guy from Hawaii, Lifetime Achievement Award, National Fitness Hall of Fame, will be joining me. And then my longtime colleague and mentor, Bob Guida, one of the world's great sports therapists, will be joining me the following week. We're going to talk men's health with urologist Dr. Cameron Giacchelli. And then we're going to talk mental health. We're going to talk about the whole world of suicide prevention, information with PhD author Michelle Rusk. So some very informative shows coming up. Going to hit a few emails here. And again, you can email me, drrwilesportsdoctor@yahoo.com, drrwilesportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Dan says, my son's 14 years old. He really plays aggressive hockey at a higher level. He's had persistent Achilles tendon problems. We've been to physical therapy. The bootmakers made some changes. Dan, look big time at orthotics. I've been putting orthotics in skates for decades, including hockey. And when we've got a persistent foot problem, it's our biggest weapon. Custom designed joint positioned orthotics that work well in skates in order to properly control maybe abnormal motion and stress around the Achilles. Of course, a proper fitting boot, top of the line boot is very, very important. An over-the-counter insert is never as good. It just isn't. Custom orthotics are about joint measurement with your son. So see podiatry. Check that out, Dan Terry. It's almost a typical topic. My daughter's a 10-year-old figure skater. She's already doing double jumps. You think that's too much? You know, Terry, it's very exciting. I must have almost a dozen young kids. Almost all girls from the ages of 8 or 9, 10. And the reason it's such a big deal to me at the Sports Doctor is my Olympic champion, 2010 figure skating champion, Evan Lysacek, was 9 and a half, 10 years old when I first put orthotics in his skates. So it's an amazing age. And I do have a group of 19 years old, 10 years old, ones, 8 and a half. They're all doing double jumps. They started gradually. They have good coaches. They're all wearing orthotics, and they're doing well. So we're paying big attention. We're seeing it like in all sports, younger and younger, more and more physical. So it is something that we definitely want to pay attention to. Now, if she's had problems, well, lower extremity, her back, her knees, her feet, ankles, include paying big attention to foot mechanics, but also pay big attention to not trying to push through or take medicine over the counter to tolerate that movement into double jumps with all that landing. So it's a lot of stress on growing bodies. So absolutely pay big attention that an educated coach that's not overdoing it. We like personal training very early or physical therapy to work with these kids. Again, the chapter in my book, The Two Essential Exercises, we had one of the experts on last week, Mike Andrews. Strengthen those feet and ankles. Rubber band's a great way to do it. Work balance, tilt boards, BOSU, sand dune. Work on balance in order to make us as strong as possible with that young growing body. Sam says, I'm a walker. I'm 50 years old. I've had plantar fasciitis on and off. The new Skechers arch support shoes. What do you think? Hey, they're podiatry recommended, Sam. And it's interesting. I told my friends at New Balance years ago they should pay attention to getting some certification from podiatry, the foot experts, regarding some type of support system. And here Skechers did it, although it's still a shoe size. Size 8, size 9, whatever it happens to be. So if comfortable, we find that it's a positive, and it's a good generic positive. It's like most over-the-counter support system we'll use, whether it's Superfeet or others, can be helpful in helping to do some arch support. As a rule, arch support, if comfortable, is helpful. So I would use the shoes. Again, if you've had trouble, if you had a history of concern, then you might want to be paying attention to not only the shoes that you're in, but your own particular foot mechanics and foot type, body alignment, and to see whether you'd be a good candidate for orthotics. Almost always, you are at least a very good candidate for strengthening physical therapy. I wanted to again talk about the fact about the 8 different experts we brought together for the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. We paid attention to areas of nutrition with Kate Davis. We paid attention to the world of adult and child psychiatry with Dr. Denise McDermott. We paid attention to the physical side of training with Missy Orth, concussions and youth sports, what parents need to know with Dr. Holly Benjamin. Behavior of the overzealous sports parent on the sidelines. Ian Goldberg, founder of iSport 360. The 7 Habits of Savvy Sports Parents, Dr. Dave Epperson, founder of Volleyball Festival. And Jan Meredith, what great sports parents do. Youth sports safety, Dr. Steve Horowitz, his whole team safe philosophy. That groups, parents, coaches should be familiar with on the that whole area of youth sports safety. The Olympics are over. It was fantastic, even though it was crazy. It was so challenged. There were so many great stories, none greater than Simone Biles, which I think was just a great, great, great example of the importance of mental health, that even the greatest of athletes in the world could really be challenged with these kinds of concerns, to make it known or help make it known that it's okay to not be okay. So there was some great stuff, great champions in all the different sports. It flew by. Let's look for some reruns. Hey, we'll catch everybody next week. It's the Sports Doctor, Sports Doctor Radio. Thanks, everybody.